Item 6. Matt.
Okay, thank you. So this is a summary of our risks, vulnerabilities, and opportunities that we... some of this is what we've already discussed in the previous items, but some of this is kind of more of a long-term lobbying focus or advocacy focus to it. So number one, and this has been on the list for quite some time now, is the wraparound Milwaukee residential care center costs. So one of the main drivers behind our decision to in the HMO program was that, similar to Dane County's Children Come First, the program had previously been used to fund out-of-home care placements for youth in need of mental health services. The state has made some changes to the program where those costs are no longer allowable. The state, through 2024, is using some GPR funds to fund that gap that was previously funded by Medicaid and the HMO program. After 2024, we were informed that we would need to fund those services with tax levy or really any other fund source that is not Medicaid funding. We've been in a lot of active talks with the Division of Milwaukee Child Protective Services. A lot of the youth that are in need of out-of-home care placements in the Wraparound Milwaukee program have CHIPS orders, so they are appropriate for use of 4E funds through that program. Right now, we believe we will still need to fund a small subset of those costs with tax levy or other funding in 2025 after the HMO sunsets, but it will be much lower than the originally, I think we were originally projecting around $5 million. Right now the report reads $4.5 million, but many of those youth will receive services through CPS. We'll still be involved in mental health care services for those youth, but we will not be directly funding their out-of-home care placements. So that's good news that we're making progress there. Similar topic, the WRAP HMO, again, we're sunsetting that program on September 30th. We're trying to be very careful with how we're messaging that to community members because the majority of wraparound providers will still be in our network. They will just no longer be wraparound HMO providers. They will be CCS, crisis intervention, et cetera, providers. We're trying to have as minimal of an impact from the service recipient's point of view while we make a lot of these changes, but noting this as a risk because it's a major change to how these programs are funded. We've got a lot of work to do in the next few months as we formulate the 2025 budget to make sure that we're getting the enrollment numbers correct, the expense numbers correct, and that local tax levy match portion correct that's required for crisis intervention services. The labor market, again, this kind of bubbled up in some of our previous discussions, continuing to see challenges there. We've been able to move forward on rate increases for CSP, for some of our CBRFs, but continuing to hear a lot of concerns from providers about rate adequacy, so that will continue to be a high priority in the 2025 budget. Similarly to what we've discussed earlier, inpatient capacity continues to be a concern. Continue to partner with Granite Hills and other area psych hospitals on resolving that issue. Moving on to opportunities, we have opioid settlement funds. The county has a substantial amount of opioid settlement funds, which some of which are on shorter term payment schedules over the next few years. Others are on payment schedules going out 18 years. So the way that process works at Milwaukee County, the county is receiving those settlement payments, and the county is distributing those to various county departments through a county-wide application process. DHHS has already been awarded funds for things like prevention services and those opioid vending machines that I know we've talked about in previous meetings. There was just another round of opioid settlement funding that opened up. One of our main initiatives there is requesting an additional $1 million in opioid treatment services to continue to fund our AODA network, and then that will in turn offset some tax levy that we have there so that we can do things like expand alcohol and other services that typically are underallocated by our treatment-specific funding. IMD waiver. Oh, we've got a question.
And I'm sorry, and everybody probably know my stance on this, but I still have to say it because it was brought up, and, you know, prevention saves lives. I'm all for prevention. However, to me, it's almost like putting a Band-Aid on a problem when there's no treatment beds. And so moving upstream, I hope that funding is allocated for treatment beds, because that's the long-term goal, right? And so I did put out a call of action in the community to say that there's a need for treatment beds versus just spending the majority of the money that was awarded on prevention. And so I just want to go on record to say I hope that we continue to move upstream because people need treatment. Like, it's kind of sad to see that individuals continue to call around the county, around the city, looking for beds, and there's no beds available. And so I just wanted to go on the record to say that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And that's why we're requesting that additional $1 million. I think we were very focused on prevention in the earlier round of opioid settlement fund requests, just because that has been typically been an area that's been underfunded and not something that's targeted by a lot of the grants that we have available to us. But now that we have been able to make a lot of progress there, we're turning back towards expanding treatment services. Moving on, the IMD waiver, we already discussed that at length, but that could have a very profound impact both on Milwaukee County's financials in terms of funding psychiatric beds, which could then in turn be used for expansion of other community services or enhancements of the psych beds that are available, but also outside the scope of Milwaukee County's financials. We think that it would have a really positive, or could potentially have a positive impact on the private investment in that area. Lastly, and again, this is a little less known at this point, but there is a new psychiatric residential treatment facility designation that Division of Medicaid Services is moving forward on. This has potential to bring more Medicaid reimbursement into the residential care center treatment network. But right now it's a little unclear on how many RCCs will apply for that type of designation and that type of funding. It does come with a higher staffing model and other changes that they would need to implement. But potential positivity from that.
Thank you, Matt. Any other questions of Matt on this subject? Hearing none, we'll move